Now, I'd like to occupy just a very few minutes, hoping that there could be time for maybe another brother before the break. The first book of Chronicles, please. The first book of Chronicles and chapter 29. First Chronicles chapter 29, and we'll read it verse 26, please. Thus David, the son of Jesse, reigned over all Israel, and the time that he reigned over Israel was 40 years. 7 years reigned he in Hebron, and 33 years reigned he in Jerusalem. And he died in a good old age, full of days, riches, and honour. And Solomon his son reigned in his stead. Now, the acts of David the king, first and last, behold, they are written in the book of Samuel the seer, and in the book of Nathan the prophet, and in the book of Gad the seer, with all his reign and his might, and the times that went over him, and over Israel, and over all the kingdoms of the countries. And may the Lord add a rich blessing to the reading of Holy Scripture. We've been hearing a little today about David. We've been thinking of his early days. We've remembered him as he confronted the giant, and with stone and sling he slew that mighty man of war. We've read now of the end of David's life, and we read together that he died in a good old age. A very graphic picture is painted of David's death in the first book of Kings. And you'll discover that he's very old and he's very decrepit. And the Bible says he got him no heat. He's lying shivering in his bed. What a sad state David had come to. And yet, this little verse of scripture seems to indicate that at the end of his life, David was regarded as a man who was worthy of honour. Now what I want to do in a very simple way this afternoon, beloved, is this. I want to look at these few statements that are made of David and of his death, and contrast that with the death of our beloved Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. For there is a sharp contrast between what we read here and what happened in his experience as he went to that shameful cross at Calvary. Oh, there are similarities between David and the Lord in the passage. We read that David reigned over all Israel. Our Lord Jesus will reign over all Israel. Wise men called him King of the Jews. Pilate called him King of the Jews. He is not the King of the Jews. He is the King of Israel, the King of the United Kingdom of Israel and Judah. These disciples of whom we heard earlier from Matthew 18, the Lord Jesus said that they would sit and judge the 12 tribes of Israel. And so our Lord Jesus in that coming day will rule over all Israel. There is a contrast though. David reigned 40 years. The Bible says of our Lord Jesus Christ, he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. He will rule supreme, not only during the millennial kingdom, but forever the Lord Jesus will exhibit sovereign power. But now we come to think about David. He died in a good old age. What about our Lord Jesus? The Bible uses the phrase more than once, cut off out of the land of the living. Oh, Isaiah had said he would grow up before him as a tender plant. But he never experienced deterioration, nor ever could he. He was cut off, the Bible says. The word of God says about Doeg the Edomite that he would be rooted out of the land of the living. And you can understand that. But our Lord Jesus was cut off out of the land of the living. Do you remember Daniel prophesied, after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. Men speak of an untimely death. You could never use that phraseology in regard to the death of the Lord Jesus Christ, because his death was at precisely God's chosen moment. They said, not on the feast day, lest there be an uproar among the people. But the feast day was the day that was earmarked on the calendar of God for the Lord Jesus to die in shame on that old rugged cross. He died at precisely what he called his hour. And yet, from a human standpoint, men would have regarded it as an untimely death, cut off out of the land of the living. Do you remember that in Leviticus chapter 2, when you read about the meat offering, and the meat offering of first fruits, it would comprise of green ears. And when you think of green ears, you're thinking of ears which appear not to have reached their full maturity. And yet, they weren't just green ears, they were full ears, the Bible says. So when you think of our Lord Jesus Christ, while he appeared to have an untimely death, the green ears were full ears. And on the eve of Calvary, he could lift his eyes heavenward and say, I have glorified thee on the earth, having accomplished the work which thou hast given me to do. So he died as a young man, in contrast to David, who died in a good old age. And then we read about David. He was full of days and full of riches. Oh, we were hearing about his early life. Do you remember what he said on an occasion? I am a poor man and lightly esteemed. So as David embarked on the road of life, he did so as a man who'd been born into a poor family. He was a poor man who became rich. My beloved, our Lord Jesus Christ was rich, the Bible says, but for your sakes, he became poor. Oh, Job became poor. He was a wealthy man. A wealthy man, why, the Bible says he had 500 yoke of oxen. Now, we're in a school, so it should be no problem to you to work out how many that was. I would say that was 1,000 cows. 1,000. My friends, the Lord said of our Lord Jesus Christ in the book of Psalms, the cattle on 1,000 hills are his. I know it's figurative language, but you're just thinking of the immensity of his wealth. He was rich. Job, a rich man, but involuntarily he became poor. Our Lord Jesus Christ was rich, yet for your sake he became poor. Did you ever read of anyone in the Bible who was born into such poverty-stricken conditions as he came to? Oh, I know all the Christmas cards have been dropping on your mat these past few weeks. Up there at the stable. And every time these stables are depicted as having as much light as a Thomas Kincaid portrait, I'm sure you would think that. But I want to tell you, it would be dark and it would be drafty if it was a stable at all. Maybe it was even in the outside place that he was born. You see, it doesn't speak about the stable. It just says, laid in a manger, there was no room for them in the inn. And so the Lord Jesus at his birth was poor, so poor that when Mary brought her offering, she did not bring a lamb. Leviticus 12 had said of the mother in Israel, if she be not able to bring a lamb, if her means suffice not for a lamb, let her bring two turtle doves or two young pigeons. My beloved, he was the only one who had the ability to choose the whereabouts of his birth. He was the only one who had the ability to choose the family into which he would be born. And he chose to be born into a poor family. He became poor. Poor at his birth. Poor in his life. Ah, he was brought up in that despised Nazareth. And they said, is not this the carpenter? And he was. Think of it. I'm looking out into the faces of time-served men, some of you. You've got a bit of status. I can see a carpenter at the back there, and he does a great job. I'm sure he would still do a great job, even although he's been away from it since he retired. But you know, our Lord Jesus Christ would have constructed maybe the yoke for the oxen. And every job that came out of the workhouse was a perfect job. You say you're reading between the lines. Where do you read that in the Bible? I do read this in the Bible. He increased in wisdom and in stature and in favour with God and man. Would he have increased in favour with man at Nazareth if he'd been putting out a shoddy job? Or if he'd been overcharging? His customers? I think not. But there he was, doing a very menial thing. He became poor. I read of him in Psalm 8, "When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers." Only took divine fingers to form the stars, you know. Only fingers. You know, when you're thinking about the need for power and strength, you know, if you've locked yourself out and you go away home tonight and you discover, "I'm locked out," you don't put your fingers to the door to try and break it down. You put your shoulder to the door. But I tell you this, it only took divine fingers to form the universe and the stars. And yet, my beloved, the one who did it was found in circumstances where with bare human hands he used a saw or a chisel or a plane. He became poor. And during his ministry it was no different. Foxes had holes. The birds of the air had their nests. And you know, as you read in the Old Testament, you could discover that there could be a bird's nest on the ground, or maybe on the cedar tree, or maybe in the cleft of the rock. The little ants, you know, they have their homes in all kinds of different places. But the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. He became poor. And foxes, well, there were thousands of them around about Israel. And you're saying, "I never read that in my Bible." You're reading between the lines again. Well, there were so many that Samson was able to catch 300 and tie their tails together. I was referring to that in Japan one time. And instead of fox, the interpreter had picked it up as folks. And he'd all these folks going around with their tails tied. They got it sorted out. But, you know, there were so many of these foxes that every one of them had their lair. But the Son of Man had not where to lay his head. He became poor. But we're thinking of his death. And you see the depths of his poverty at Golgotha. They gambled for his only belongings, the very clothes in which he stood. He told a story one day. A man looking out on his waving grain, and then God intervenes. "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" In other words, the relatives were left to squabble over his estate. Incidentally, I'm just dropping this in. Don't leave a mess behind you. I know that none of you are expecting to die. You're all expecting to go with the crowd. But at the same time, have your affairs in order. Don't leave a mess behind you for folk to get into difficulties with. So then, this man, his relatives were left. But I want to tell you, the Lord Jesus left no estate over which people could squabble. "They parted my garments among them, and upon my vesture did they cast lots." I've quoted Daniel already. After 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off, and literally, and shall have nothing. I know it may mean that everything that ought to have been his as Israel's Messiah was denied him, but wasn't it true literally? He had nothing. And David died in a good old age, full of riches. Our Lord Jesus was rich, and he became poor, and he had nothing. David died full of honour. What about our Lord Jesus? What is the antithesis of honour? Shame, dishonour. And he could say prophetically, anticipating Calvary, "Thou knowest my reproach and my shame and my dishonor." Think of the shame that he experienced as he hung there upon that cross. There's a shame connected with nakedness. That is inferred right on the threshold of our Bible. They were naked and were not ashamed, but soon it would come to it that with nakedness there would be shame. You see it right at the end of your Bible, that the shame of thy nakedness doth not appear. My brethren and sisters, your Lord and mine was stripped and hung up before a ribald crowd, bearing shame and scoffing rude. In my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. And it would be good if we could sing it. Let's sing it together. Bearing shame and scoffing rude, in my place condemned he stood, sealed my pardon with his blood. And so his shame and his dishonour was exhibited yonder at the tree. Unlike David, who died in a good old age, full of days and riches and honour, and Solomon his son reigned in his stead. What does it say about our Lord in Isaiah 53? Who shall declare his generation? There was no one to take his place. I know that a translation puts it this way. As for his generation, who among them considered that he was cut off out of the land of the living? And I think that's good enough. But just take the authorized as it is. Who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living. And then finally, because I did promise I would try to leave a little time, the Acts of David the King, first and last. Three books. The books of Samuel the seer, the book of Nathan the prophet, the book of Gad the seer. Three books. That's all it took to write the biography of someone so illustrious as the great King David. I'm sure you remember what John says about the Lord Jesus. It may be hyperbole, I suppose it is, but nevertheless, think about it. The world itself could not contain the books that could have been written. If every detail of his life had been recorded, why, we would have been sitting reading and reading and reading, and maybe some of these days it will all be unfolded to us, as we have the great privilege of feasting upon what Revelation calls hidden manna. There's coming that day when it will all be unfolded to us, and it will ravish our souls to the countless ages of eternity. May God bless his word to us.